We've got, oh, one more.
Sorry,
and that is paper number 13.
Okay.
Paper number 13 is the IFRIC update from the July meeting, and I'll just highlight a few items for you from that meeting. First of all, we continued to discuss one of the items that's on the current agenda, which is looking at employee benefit plans with a guaranteed return on contributions or notional contributions. Now, in continuing to work on that at the July meeting, the Interpretations Committee tentatively agreed the scope of their work on that project, and subsequently at this week's meeting have continued to look at that and agreed the focus of the measurement approach for that project, which we will be looking at in detail in a forthcoming Interpretation Committee meeting. Stephen, I see your card up.
Can I make a comment on this one?
Yes.
I listened to the recording and it's clear that the committee want to go down the D9 route, that was issued in 2004.
Yes.
I think that's a bad route to go down, and it's not going to be fruitful. This is fine in terms of these plans that have a link to asset returns, works well. Existing accounting under DB accounting just produced the wrong answer, and that's quite clear, and there's a major problem, and we should have sorted this out in 2004, not wait this long. But the plans that have a guaranteed return, so the higher of plans, this is really bad accounting, and it's inconsistent with what we're doing in insurance. In insurance, we're trying to get guarantees on the balance sheet measured properly. The D9 approach just looks at intrinsic value. It doesn't take into account time value. It's inconsistent with what we're doing on insurance, and I don't think it's the right way to go. So I'm rather concerned that the Interpretations Committee seem to think that D9 is a good answer. I'm also concerned about the comment about scope. This thing, the point about current salary, career average promises being included, that was the problem that we had with the discussion paper, where we had a second attempt to resolve this problem. That failed because the scope was too wide. So I'm concerned that the problems that we've had in the past are just going to come back.
I'm certainly aware of the concerns that you have on.
And that was part of the reason for my comment earlier about looking at this more broadly. I'm not sure the Interpretations Committee is going to be capable of providing a solution to this.
Well, we can certainly make sure that the concerns that you have are presented to the Interpretations Committee as part of their next discussion, so that if this is going to be a roadblock technically, then that's identified sooner rather than later. Okay. In terms of the next items I wanted to highlight, there were five tentative agenda decisions that were discussed and put out for comment at the July meeting, one of which I wanted to highlight, and that was the first one that's listed there, and that's to do with employee benefits and the actuarial assumptions used in the discount rate, and in particular identifying what is meant by high quality corporate bonds, something that, which of course we have brought to you in previous meetings. The Interpretations Committee has considered a number of possible ways of addressing this, but ultimately has concluded that the issue is too broad for it to deal with, and hence is proposing an agenda decision. This agenda decision is, however, identifying certain features or characteristics that it thinks should be observed. So, first of all, it's identifying a number of features of the discount rate, such as it reflects time value of money but not actuarial risk or investment risk. It doesn't reflect entity-specific credit risk, and so on. It also identifies in this that the notion of high quality is an absolute and not relative term, and so it isn't a case of simply looking at the highest quality bonds available. It also notes that the the company's policy in identifying what is high quality should be applied consistently over time, and consequently that when there are changes in the population of high quality corporate bonds that are available, that it needs to consider how it can continue to apply its policy consistently, and also notes that that IAS 19 does give guidance as to what to do in circumstances when there is no longer a deep market in high quality corporate bonds, i.e. using a government bond rate. It's also highlighted the disclosure requirements that are needed where there are changes in terms of the discount rate. So looking at the disclosure requirements in IAS 19 related to significant actuarial assumptions, and also the disclosures in IAS 1 relating to the judgments made in applying accounting policies. Now, I just highlighted that one because of its importance. We will, once this has been finalised, bring you a paper which will set out the different proposals that the Interpretations Committee had discussed but decided it couldn't proceed with in terms of how to deal with this more substantively, so that you can then consider whether there's any action that you think needs to be taken by the board, either in the short term or the medium term, following the next agenda consultation.
Just a quick comment on this. There is a very heated debate within Europe and between different jurisdictions in Europe on this topic. It's a matter which has been looked at by ESMA. We have had a lot of interaction with ESMA. I think the agenda, the proposed agenda wording is responsive to the demand of ESMA and is confirming the majority view that they have taken. So we are quite aligned, but it should be known that this is very, very controversial in certain jurisdictions in Europe.
I wasn't going to go through any of the other tentative agenda decisions unless anybody has questions on those. Otherwise, I was going to turn to the deliberations that the committee had on various EDs. There were four EDs published towards the end of last year relating to narrow scope amendments. The Interpretations Committee has considered the feedback received on those, and we'll be bringing papers to you on those at future meetings. Now, three of these related to items connected with either joint arrangements or equity accounting, and so there's a certain degree of sort of commonality there or relationship, and hence we brought those to the same Interpretations Committee meeting, just as we'll be looking to bring those to you as a package as well, probably at the October board meeting. With each of those four, three of them, the committee agreed, or committee's conclusion was to recommend that you proceed with the finalisation of those with or without amendments to the proposed amendments. There was a fourth one which they weren't in agreement with, but we'll bring you details of that to the next meeting as to how that should be dealt with. And then wanted to mention just about some annual improvements that the Interpretations Committee considered. There were three annual improvements it considered, one of which actually you've considered just now relating to presentation of items of OCI. But one I wanted to highlight was again to do with employee benefits and the discount rate. And this was a proposed amendment to do with clarifying that when you are in a currency zone and you're looking at your population of high quality corporate bonds, they're proposing to make clear that it should be looked at the currency zone level, not at the country level, when selecting the population from which to draw your high quality bond discount rate. But we'll bring a paper on that and the third issue to you at a future meeting for inclusion in annual improvements. And then finally, the Interpretations Committee looked again at the issue related to IAS 40 investment property and the definition of what should be property for the purposes of that standard. This is an issue that we've discussed with you previously, and the Interpretations Committee's discussions there have led them to conclude that they support the broadening of the definition of property, so that the example that they looked at was a telecom tower, when that is used in the same sort of way as a conventional investment property to generate rental income, that should be within the scope of IAS 40. But because of the close interrelationship with the leases project and the way that property has been defined in that project, its interaction with IAS 40, it feels that it's not appropriate to move forward at this stage with proposing any amendments, and so it thinks that this should be looked at once you've received the comments back on the leases ED and undertaken your deliberations and considered what changes there might be to the definition of property in that project. So those are the things I wanted to highlight. Are there any other questions that you've got on any of the issues discussed?
Okay, no. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
That's the end of our morning session. We resume our meeting at 12:15 with an educational session on the impairment.